The late, great Elvis Presley and the green, green grass of home on WYTI AM 1570, FM 104.5. WYTI in Rocky Mount, Virginia. Earl Van Shelton in the air chair with you, 129. And it is my great honor to have the one, the only, the legendary Mickey Gilley on the telephone with me this afternoon. Mr. Gilley, how the heck are you?
Well, at 82, I'm doing pretty darn good. You know, I got to say that it's been one heck of a ride I've had in my career. The folks give me 17 number one singles in my life, and I'm very appreciative to the fact that they accept me in the country music world after struggling 17 years in the music business.
You know, and you're still kicking and doing it. ACM Entertainer of the Year, Top Male Vocalist, Song of the Year, Single of the Year, Album of the Year honors, member of the Texas Country Hall of Fame. I could go on and on. Mickey, how's the tour? How's it taking effect on you? Are you holding up okay?
I'm doing quite well. And 2009, I had a spinal cord injury, and I lost my ability to play the keyboard. But I've got a tremendous guy on the piano, playing all the licks on the piano for Mickey Gilley, and I mean, he plays it so close to me that it's scary. And I got a total of 7-piece band, 2 girl singers, and me and Johnny Lee doing the Urban Cowboy reunion tour that we've been playing. It's been just awesome. We've been having a great time. We played a little place down in Kendall, Louisiana. It seated about 6,000 people, and I'm thinking me and Johnny's not gonna be able to fill this place up. We're both I'm 82 and he's in his 70s, and that place was packed. And I told Johnny, I said, those people out there dancing to the Urban Cowboy music, 25 and 30 years old, they weren't even around when we did that film. And all of a sudden, you know, they're enjoying the music of the Urban Cowboy. We had a great time. And then I turned to Johnny and I said, I think they showed up just to see if we were still alive.
You know, it's almost like it's being reinvented. You know, I'm a 1980s baby, so I remember, actually, I was born in the 60s, but the movement, the Urban Cowboy movement, I remember the movie, the cowboy jeans and the boots, and that was something else. Tell us a little bit about you starring in that. And was that one of your most memorable? You've had so many great memories in your lifetime. I'm sure it's hard to narrow it down just to one or two, but that had to be one of the top five for sure.
Absolutely. I've had some great memories. One of the things that got my attention was when they gave me a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and when I got invited to the White House to play for President Ronald Reagan, President George Bush Sr. Very memorable moments when I did the USO tour. People will forget that. But when John Travolta came down to Gilley's and did the film The Urban Cowboy, I never dreamed that it was going to affect my life like it did. For the first time, it opened up all the showrooms in Vegas, Reno, Tahoe, Atlantic City. I got to go to Europe. And it was unbelievable how that film affected the music industry. I was in Nashville, Tennessee, got on the elevator, and some guy got on the elevator with us, and he says, hey, thanks for what you've done for Western Wear. And I said, you better thank John Travolta. He's the one that made it happen, not Mickey Gilley. I was along for the ride, you know what I mean? But, I mean, Johnny Lee had the hot song, you know, Looking for Love, and, of course, I had Stand By Me, a different version of it that the producer put together. And it has just been one heck of a ride. It's still memorable.
In 1971, Mickey, you opened the world-famous Gilley's Nightclub in Pasadena, Texas. Tell us how that escalated after, like before the movie, then after, during the movie, and after the movie.
Well, when we opened the club up in 1971, I had literally thrown the towel in as far as my recording career was concerned. I'd been trying for 17 years to have a hit record. Nothing was happening. Every time I'd make a record, somebody said, what are you doing trying to follow your cousin Jerry Lee Lewis, you know? Because he was in the background. And I threw the towel in and made my first record in 1957, thinking all I had to do is make a record, I'd become a star. Didn't happen. 17 years later, I go into business with this guy, and we opened this club up after struggling all those years in the music industry. Had some local hits in Houston, but that was about it. And right after we opened the club up, I acquired a little local TV show for a country music station there on Channel 39 in Houston. And I walk in the club one night, the lady that had the jukebox in Gilley's, she said, today on your show you did my favorite song. I said, what was it? She said, she called me baby. Long story short, she wanted me to record that song for 300 jukeboxes. I went in to make that recording for her, to help the club. And for the flip side, I picked the old tune that George Morgan made back in the late 40s, early 50s, Room Full of Roses, thinking that it was a throwaway song. Because I had grown up singing that song with my two famous cousins, Jerry Lewis and Reverend Jimmy Swaggart. And I overlooked the song. I thought it was a throwaway, it was going to be the B-side. And I recorded it, not thinking anything about it. The radio station flipped it, And all of a sudden, I mean, I had my first number one record in the nation. It was unbelievable. And that's how it broke the ice for me. And after that, I followed it with 16 more number one songs, including the duet I had with Charlie McLean, of course, Paradise Tonight.
I love all of your songs. And don't the girls all get prettier at closing time? And, of course, you did a Christmas version of that, too. And I love both versions of it. Mickey, not only do you stay busy with this Urban Cowboy Tour, but you've got a full thing going on in Branson. Of course, we've got a lot of folks here that listen in our area that go to and travel, make vacations in Branson, Missouri. But you're at the Shanghai Theater pretty much all year long, aren't you?
Well, I sold my theater to a group from China, and they came in and they renamed it. They wanted to keep my name on it. I said, why, fine, you know. I mean, they paid me enough money, so I care to the care less, you know. But then they invited me to come back and play the spring and the fall. So I brought Johnny Lee in with me. And so him and I are doing 3 days a week during the spring, which is, I think we're doing 6 weeks in the spring, and we're doing 10 weeks in the fall. So, and then we're doing the road dates. So we're really having a great time. For changing my life, you know, I haven't had a hit since '85, I think, was my last number one song, I believe, somewhere along in that era. But anyway, the people are still coming out to hear the music from the soundtrack of the film, The Urban Cowboy. We're having a great time presenting that music to them, too. What happens is, Johnny opens the show, I come out and I do my bit. You know, between him and I together, we've had 25 plus number one songs in the country charts.
Wow.
So we got plenty of music, you know, to perform for the people. And then we all join the stage at the end of the show doing the music from the soundtrack of the film, The Urban Cowboy. And it has been just a tremendous, a lot of fun for both of us.
You know, Mickey, we talked to Johnny last week, and he was a hoot to talk to as well. I want to mention, too, Mickey, not only, of course, have you made it big in the musical industry, but we can also throw movies in. Let's talk about television. You've appeared in Murder, She Wrote, The Fall Guy, Fantasy Island, and one of my favorite shows of all time, The Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're using video in the show. And another big memorable moment for me, too, was when I got to sing with Ray Charles.
Wow.
And I show a little clip of that. You know, him and I did You Don't Know Me together. And he was my hero. I mean, I thought Ray Charles was one of the best ever on the stage. And when my producer first brought the song into the session, and I told him, I said, this song's been recorded by every country music act ever picked up a microphone. Because it's really a great song. It's written by Eddie Arnold and Cindy Walker. And I said, I used to do it at a club, you know. I said, but it's been over-recorded. And he says, don't worry about it. It's going to go on an album. Well, I recorded it. The record company likes it so well, they released it as a single. And then later, I got a chance to sing the song with Ray Charles. And I mean, I was on cloud nine, as nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof, because he was my hero. But I show a little clip of him and I singing the song, and then I do my version of it. But and we try to make the show entertaining and interesting. Johnny tells some jokes on me, and I tell some things on him in the show. So we just have a great time doing what we've been doing, as old as we are at the time.
Well, I tell you what, Mickey, we love your music. Our station, we play your music all the time, and we still get lots of requests for it. You burn our airwaves up. And let's see, people that want to follow you and keep up with you, you got your website, www.gillies.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I also have a Facebook page called Mickey Gillies Personal Update Page. If they want to follow me on Facebook, Mickey Gillies Personal Update Page. And I do all the little bits and pieces, you know, I talk to them and tell them what we're going and what we're doing, and I try to keep it updated as much as I can, as busy as we've been. But if they want to tune in to the Facebook page, I'd like to find the, you know, Mickey Gillies Personal Update Page.
Well, Mickey, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your schedule to talk to us today. Again, 39 top 10 country hits, 17 of those reaching number one on the country charts, and it's been my pleasure to talk to you this afternoon, sir.
It's been an honor and pleasure being on the show. Thank you for having me on.